20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your Saturday and your weekend is going well. Can I just start by saying, what the hell? We are a week past the draft. The draft is over. We've opened up a lot of our presents already, obviously, on draft weekend and got to see who Green Bay selected. Now today, we're already on our fifth deep dive. I've only got three to go. There's only three left. How did this go so fast? I am flabbergasted. I'm dumbfounded. I'm sick to my stomach. Just it feels like we were just yesterday. It was like the draft is upon us. We're going to get to see who Green Bay takes. And now tear down my eye, we've only got three deep dives left after today. But the good news is I'm really looking forward to all three of those deep dives because Brinson's probably been the player I've watched the least so far. So really excited to dive into the tape of him. And then Williams and Robinson are two players that I watched pre-draft because they were top 30 visits and really liked a lot of their tape. And I'm excited to kind of go back and watch them in greater detail now. So those should be fun. And of course, really excited about today's as well, but always a little bit bittersweet now that we're winding down the official end of draft season here. But we get to transition today on Saturday. Packers have a rookie mini camp. I'll be attending that. Really excited about that. We'll report back to you guys tomorrow, obviously. And I'm sure if you're following me on social media, you'll see some updates from that. So that's exciting. And then before you know it, mini camps, OTAs, training camp, it's all going to be here. And, you know, maybe we'll get a Jaire Alexander situation decision at some point in time as well. So the NFL calendar never sleeps. We're going to get a schedule release soon. So we're going to have lots of stuff to go over. So just make sure if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to subscribe. If you haven't got those notifications yet on YouTube, do that. And if you haven't done the automatic downloads on your audio channel, make sure to do that as well. I want to shout out Quite Anxious Parrot for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. And of course, if you'd be so kind, make sure to check out those YouTube memberships as well. Let's start with the topic that we seemingly cannot avoid on a day-to-day basis now, and that is the Jaire Alexander situation. Huge news in that there's, of course, no news. Matt LaFleur just said that there was nothing to go over, no updates, that they're just kind of continuing to work through it. We did receive a report from Jacina Anderson, who said that there's been an agreement in place between Jaire Alexander and the Packers of basically not attending practices or showing up in person until they figure out what's going to happen moving forward. And that makes sense for both sides. My guess is Green Bay said, hey, we're still going to continue to give you your bonuses as if you were here, but we can't have you here. They can't risk him getting hurt. If they do have any true desire to still trade him, they cannot risk him getting hurt. If they have any true desire to release him, they can't risk him getting hurt because if he gets hurt, now you've got an injury settlement and you could end up having to pay his full salary. So they cannot have any team activity injury with Jaire right now. If there's even a remote chance that they trade him or release him, it would be a nightmare of a situation because now you're gonna have to pay him. If he like all of a sudden had an ACL, you're probably paying him the full salary all year long and you don't get anything out of him. So that would be the absolute nightmare scenario. So smart on Green Bay. Like I said, I'm sure they're going to continue to offer him his bonuses as if he were here. And it doesn't make sense for either side to really do anything at this point until they resolve the issue, whether it's a new contract, whether it is a restructure, whether it's a, hey, yep, we're good to go. We're going to keep you on the team as is, a trade, a release, whatever that thing is. It makes sense to get that resolved before you kind of go forward with anything. And that's where Green Bay and Jaire Alexander are at right now. Meanwhile, Packers signed six of their draft picks already, only two to go, their first rounder, their second rounder, Matthew Golden and Anthony Belton, of course. Everyone else is now under contract, so these are pretty easy. It is usually the third round one that is a little bit more of a sticking point now, so it's nice that Green Bay got that one done. I wouldn't expect that Golden and Belton take too much time, so hopefully those get done sooner rather than later, but I'm just very happy we're not in the days where you had to sweat out these draft pick signings of like, oh my goodness, are they going to sign in time for camp? Is this going to be an issue? They're pretty much easily done now, and I would expect those final two to get done hopefully sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, Green Bay officially signed 10 undrafted free agents. Jalen White, a running back out of Georgia Southern. Nazir Stackhouse, a defensive tackle out of Georgia. J.J. Lippe, a guard out of Northern Illinois. Jamon Johnson, a linebacker out of Kentucky, who Ross Uglum did a great breakdown of on both the YouTube and audio channels, so make sure to check that out as well. Amar Johnson, a running back out of South Dakota State. Tyron Herring, a corner out of Delaware. Tyler Cooper, a guard out of Minnesota. Kazmir Bugs Brown, a safety out of Florida Atlantic. Note that he was a corner in college. They are listing him as a safety. Brant Banks, a tackle out of Rice. And then a little bit of an interesting one here. Jonathan Baldwin, a safety out of UNLV. At least everyone had reported him as a safety in Dane Brugler's The Beast, which I got sitting right in front of me over here. He had him as his 103rd ranked safety in this class. Green Bay thought a little bit more of him than that. They gave him a pretty, a decent size guaranteed contract, or at least a piece of that contract that's guaranteed at this little over $100,000 that they guaranteed, which is pretty high for Green Bay standard when it comes to undrafted free agents. That's interesting piece number one. Interesting piece number two is that they list him as a cornerback. So that'll be an interesting one. My guess is they're viewing him as a slot guy, as someone who can kind of play that Javon Bullard type role. But it is interesting that they list him as a corner when signing him. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that one. It seems like that was their biggest guaranteed money that they gave to any of their undrafted free agents. And we happen to know right now that corner is a bit of an issue when it comes to depth and competition and just who can step up. I'm not making any insinuations that Jonathan Baldwin's going to be any solution at corner, but hey, they've had great success with UDFAs in the past, and maybe Jonathan Baldwin is the one this year at corner that can maybe make a name for himself. Matt LaFleur did speak to the media on Friday as well. Some takeaways from that: Taylor Elgersma, the Canadian tryout quarterback, he said he has a very live arm. And he said that when he's looking at quarterbacks at like this stage of the process, he's basically just looking for traits. Seemed like he was pretty impressed with Elgersma overall. Elgersma has one other tryout that he's going to be attending next weekend, assuming he gets there. And if Green Bay offers him a contract now, maybe he just takes it and that's that. But as of right now, just a tryout quarterback. We'll see if he can make it onto the Packers roster. Matt also mentioned that it's going to be a low intensity practice on Saturday. My guess is this, I don't even know if they were doing any sort of practice on Friday, which I mentioned, the other day of like, I wish, Green Bay was opening both practices up and instead they're only opening the one up, but it might be just that they're only practicing once. And if so, it sounds like it's going to be a pretty low key, kind of more walkthrough based, more of a teaching sort of practice than anything else. So if you're hoping that we're going to get some, big time takeaways from this practice on Saturday, I wouldn't hold your breath too much. It's going to be just kind of seeing the players for the first time, just get out there, see what they look like and kind of go from there. But of course we'll report back. I'll report back with anything that is noteworthy from that practice. Matt also noted that Anthony Belton went on 14 pre-draft visits. Shout out to Justice Mosqueda, who's been all over that and all the crazy visits that Belton's been on leading up to the draft process. And then talked a little bit about Isaiah Simmons as well. Noted that he'll be in the linebacker room, but I forget who asked the question, but it was a good question of, did you get a sort of scouting report slash, just some intel from Xavier McKinney, who played with him in New York? And Matt said, yes, that Xavier gave him two thumbs up and that he kind of went in. Like I said, it's really important to be able to get a little bit of that conversation and hear from Xavier McKinney that he's a really great teammate and that he fits well within the culture and those sort of things. So that was obviously something that they factored into that decision. And now we'll see what Green Bay can do with Isaiah Simmons. Again, he will be in that linebacker room for Green Bay. Meanwhile, the official contract numbers are out for Isaiah Simmons as well. It's a one-year, $1.34 million contract with $167,500 guaranteed. So $167,500 guaranteed. This is very much a, you're going to have to earn your job in training camp contract. This is not a, oh, yep, he's going to make the team for sure. Very similar to Mecole Hardman. So both of those guys as veteran signings, they're going to get some guaranteed money. If you release them, you're going to have to eat that guaranteed money. It's not the end of the world. They just, again, signed a UDFA to about 120 some thousand in guarantees. So this is not anything out of the ordinary. And this just, again, goes to show you that Simmons and Hardman will have to go out there and actually make the team. This is not going to be something that is handed to them. That does it for our news and updates from Friday. Now let's get to Colin Oliver, who is a very, very interesting player. My overarching take on this evaluation is that this, I think, is one of the simultaneously weird, kind of simple evals, but yet it's very complicated to kind of figure out what he's going to become as a NFL player. I'll go into that more as we kind of go through this, but very unique piece. 6'1" and a half, 240 pounds, a edge slash maybe linebacker out of OK State. Spent his entire time at Oklahoma State. He's a true senior. He's 22 years old. He will turn 23 in September. as a edge defender, had an 8.92 relative athletic score. He did not do the agility testing. 17th percentile height, 11th percentile weight, 74th percentile in the bench press, which is impressive. 98th percentile vertical jump, 96th percentile broad jump, 98th percentile 40-yard dash, 97th percentile 10-yard split, 0 percentile arm length per mock draftable. Very tiny arms. We're talking full T-Rex arms here. 3% wingspan and 25th percentile hand size. So very small arms and wingspan. Shorter, doesn't weigh a ton, but extremely explosive in the vertical, the broad jump, the 40-yard dash, and the 10-yard split. At linebacker, all right, if he moves to that off-ball linebacker position, was a 9.88 relative athletic score, 66th percentile in height, 76th percentile in weight, 83rd percentile bench press, 96th percentile vertical jump, 95th percentile broad jump, and 93rd percentile 40-yard dash. So from an athletic standpoint, would seem to fit a little bit better as an off-ball linebacker, but has some unique traits regardless of if he's an end or if he is at linebacker. Some athletic comps, these are all ones that make a ton of sense. From an RAS standpoint, Hassan Reddick, Jannard Avery, Mo Kamara, Shaka Toney, Nolan Smith. These are your smaller speed rusher type situational pass rushers that have come out over the course of the last 5 to 8 years. All of them are in that mold. And then for mock draftable, Trevardo Williams, which is a former fourth round pick for the Houston Texans. He was somebody I liked coming out. He did not work out at all. He also, I think, had some off-field stuff. Nick Benito, Mo Kamara, Chop Robinson, Nolan Smith. Once again, undersized pass rush specialist. That's what you're looking at here when it comes to Colin Oliver, and his athletic comps are all these shorter, smaller pass rush specialists, which makes sense. That's what he is. From a PFF standpoint, 2021 had a 78.0 grade on 374 snaps. In 2022, had a 71.5 grade on 461 snaps. In 2023, had a 73.1 grade on 915 snaps. And in 2024, had a 90.6 grade on 125 snaps. He had an injury this past year, which cost him a bunch of games, which is why he didn't play much in 2024. But when he did, looked pretty darn well with that 90.6 grade. In 2021, he had 233 pass rush snaps, had 9 sacks. These are per PFF. I think he actually had 11 and a half per the box score stats or whatever, but per PFF, 9 sacks, 45 pressures, 16.7% win percentage, and a 19.3% pressure rate. 2022, 263 pass rush snaps, 5 sacks, 42 pressures, a 15.3% win rate, and a 16.0% pressure percentage. In 2023, 283 rush snaps, 6 sacks, 40 pressures, a 12.4% pass rush win rate, and then 14.1% pressure percentage. And last but not least, this past year, only got to rush the quarterback 78 times. He had 2 sacks, 16 pressures, but a 33.3% pass rush win rate and a 20.5% pressure percentage. Just absurd numbers. Small sample size, yes, but absolutely absurd numbers. He played 138 special team snaps in his career, but 87 of those were on field goal blocks, which is basically the most nondescript, non-important of the special teams snaps. He only played 13 snaps of coverage in his entire college career. It's a little bit noteworthy. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. Some other notes: was a Senior Bowl attendee, was a freshman All-American, Big 12 Freshman of the Year, second team all Big 12 in 2021, 2022, and 2023. A two-time team captain, as mentioned, missed the final 10 games last year with a right foot injury. Was 208th on the consensus big board and was the one Packer that was drafted by Green Bay that I did not have on my Packers big board. And there's so many reasons as to why, but this is very much outside the realm of normal for a Green Bay edge defender, pass rusher, whatever you want to call him. Not something that they have done. Goody has specifically spoken out about not wanting players like this. And yet here we are. Colin Oliver is a Green Bay Packer, and they have gone completely away from saying like, hey, we just don't want a pass rush specialist or something like that. Because Colin Oliver seems like, on paper, very much a pass rush specialist. So he's very, very unique in that regard. And Green Bay clearly liked him a lot because they went outside of their normal, I don't even want to say thresholds, just their usual preferences to go get a player like this. Let's go through his strengths and weaknesses, starting with his strengths. He is an incredibly quick speed rusher with true explosive pass rush ability. It is just uncanny how quick that he is to the quarterback from the snap of the ball to the quarterback in the blink of an eye. This is it. We can almost ignore almost everything else. We're going to talk about a lot of other things, but this is it. He is really fast. He's a true pass rusher, and he gets there in a hurry. And it's basically, for lack of a better term, just a race to see if he can get off the ball quick enough and race around the edge before the tackle can kind of get in his stance, get out there, and get his hands on him. I'm not saying this is 100% of the time, but for the most part, what you're probably looking at is if he wins that race, it's an immediate pressure and a sack or a forced fumble or whatever the case may be. Not always, but you're going to have a pressure at minimum. And if he loses that race and the offensive lineman gets his hands on him, the offensive lineman is going to win that rep. That's oversimplifying it, but this is basically Colin Oliver in a nutshell. Get off the line in a hurry, get that speed rush, bend the edge, beeline to the quarterback, and get there instantaneously and cause immediate pressure, immediate chaos, and immediate problems. Or the offensive tackle gets out there, gets his hands on him, and probably wins the rep. A little more nuance than that, which we'll go over, but that's the crux of Colin Oliver's game. True, rare, explosive speed off the edge, and it makes it very difficult, especially for some slower offensive tackles that maybe don't have the fleetest of feet. It can be a real problem with how explosive he is off the line and how quickly he can get to the quarterback. He absolutely blows by slower offensive tackles or tackles with poor footwork. He's just going to get the corner on you, and then it's a nightmare. And you see a lot of holding penalties for that reason. So slower offensive tackles or tackles that don't have the great footwork, they are going to struggle against Colin Oliver. Has the ability to bend the edge and then beeline to the quarterback. We've talked about players in the past of like, whether it was Harold Landry or, you know, one of these bendy edge rushers of, can Green Bay draft one of these guys that can just speed, bend, get to the quarterback? And they haven't. They haven't gone in that direction. Well, Green Bay has a speedy edge rusher that can bend around the edge, beeline to the quarterback, and hopefully cause that instantaneous and immediate chaos. Wins quick, plays a read option very, very well. So if you are reading him, he's going to be able to kind of play both with that speed of his. He does a really nice job of it. There is a beautiful simplicity to his game. There isn't a ton of nuance. There isn't a ton of, you know, I'm going to use 30 different pass rush moves. This is, like I said, a literal race to the edge, but he does have some counters inside. I've seen him use a spin move. It's not a great spin move, but he has a spin move in his game. He also will just attack you with speed. And then so many times the offensive tackle opens up too wide that you now have just a straight line to the quarterback by cutting inside. It doesn't even take a Euro step or anything. It's just, you've opened up so much, but that tackle's so worried about getting beat on the edge that he oversets to the edge, and now you've left so much space on the inside that he just changes directions, goes inside, and now the tackle's like, oh God, like I just opened up that huge area for him just to beeline right to the quarterback. He might try to hold or, you know, recover, but that will happen. And he does have some ability. He has a little bit of a, if I say a Reggie White hump move, that's a little bit giving it too much credit. But he does have this where he kind of gets the offensive lineman overextended, and then he does almost like a little hump, gets him off balance, and that's all he needs to then go and explode to the quarterback. Again, a little counter jab step inside, speed around the edge, bending around the edge. There's different things that he does. There was one play on tape this past year early on where, again, he's speed rushing. All of a sudden, he kind of goes to the speed rush, and the tackles will start anticipating that. So they're going for the speed rush, and all of a sudden, Oliver changes course and just bull rushes the offensive tackle, gets him off balance, and then gets right to the quarterback. Really fun play, but for the most part, this is speed, speed, speed with a couple change-ups here and there. Let's see here. Again, as crazy as it sounds, it's a little bit of a hump move and variety of counters that go with his game. He is the dictator when he's a pass rusher. He's going to dictate what he wants to do, which is weird. Usually it's the, you know, speed to power guy that's going to dictate terms, or the guy that's stronger when you're having an offensive lineman versus defensive lineman battle. But when it comes to Oliver, his speed is what's dictating the entire battle. If he just thinks he can outrace you and get around the edge and bend it and hit the quarterback, he's just going to do that. If he thinks that you're going to overset, he's going to counter back inside. But he's the one that's aggressively coming at you and then reading you what you're going to do and then reacting to it accordingly. When he is a speed rusher off the edge, he's the one that's dictating terms and making life hell for the offensive tackle and making it so that he has a couple different options at his disposal to go get to the quarterback. And that's what's really impressive about his game. But when he's a rusher, he's the one that is dictating terms. Even his losses are sometimes wins at kind of a ridiculous rate. Here's what I mean by that. When he's coming so quickly off the edge, sometimes by the time you get like that first contact, it's almost like he's already made his way to the quarterback. And a couple things happen. Number one, the offensive lineman gets his hands on him and like maybe either throws him, you know, tries to throw him to the ground or, stymies that rush out. But a lot of times Oliver's kind of in the vicinity of the quarterback already. And the quarterback is feeling that pressure, feeling that chaos in the pocket. And or like, you know, you're almost like rolling up on the quarterback because you got so close to him. So even when the offensive lineman technically wins, that win is coming so close to the quarterback that it's still causing problems. The other thing that happens a lot is he'll come up trying to, again, use that speed, get around the edge, and the offensive tackle will have it covered. And he's kind of, again, he's about to lose that rep. But because he gets so far upfield, and again, it's kind of in the quarterback's peripheral vision of like, oh my God, there's something going on right here. And it happened very fast. The quarterback sees that opening and starts to step up into that opening, but Oliver's quick enough to just sort of reverse course, work his way back to the quarterback and have either a tackle for a loss, like a sack in that case, maybe right behind the line of scrimmage or maybe right at or just past it. But, you know, even when the offensive tackle has him covered or even when it's a win for the offensive tackle, it happens so many times so close to the quarterback that it's almost still a win even when he doesn't beat the offensive tackle clean and get to the quarterback. He can impress with power from time to time. Again, there's a couple reps on tape where he actually shows some legitimate power. It's not there a ton, but he does flash it. Disruption and chaos are the names of his game. He is getting in the backfield immediately and causing chaos. And when you're a quarterback, you don't want a muddied pocket. You don't want something flashing out of the right corner of your eye. Whatever it might be, you want clean. You want, you know, everything to be as crisp as it can possibly be so you can step up in that pocket. All of a sudden, you've got chaos going on over here, somebody that's winning immediately. It just is a huge problem for quarterbacks. And it does cause them either to drop their eyes or see what's going on or step up in the pocket. And all of a sudden, you know, you've bought yourself some time. Corners have the ability to maybe recover down the field. Other defensive linemen have the opportunity to get to the quarterback. It's just a lot of chaos from one particular player here. You cannot leave him unblocked. And, you know, in those run plays where maybe you're going to leave that backside unblocked, he's so fast to close that down. He's just going to chase you down from behind to make the play. So in some of the plays where it's like a play action and they kind of leave it, he's just going to beeline to the quarterback and he's going to be there in a millisecond. He battles as a run defender. He's not good at it. It's going to be a problem in the NFL, but he does battle. He's just limited from a height, weight, or like a height and weight standpoint, not insanely physical. So that's something that he needs to just, you know, I guess continue to work on, but I don't know that it's ever going to come from him. I just don't know that he's ever going to be somebody that can legitimately set the edge against NFL offensive tackles with any level of consistency. The pressures that he had forced multiple interceptions through the course of the year. So pressures are productivity, and he was a great sign of that. Sometimes he didn't get the quarterback down, but the quarterback panicked, threw something up, and there was at least three interceptions that I counted based off of pressures in this situation from Colin Oliver. Impressive tackle for loss, sack, and pressure productivity. He, you know, stuffed the box score in college, and then he projects as somebody that should be a core special teamer. We talked about it. He hasn't done a ton of it. But from a projection standpoint, he would seem as somebody who could really do a lot of damage as probably somebody that's a cover guy on kick and punt returns, but there should be ways to utilize him more than he got utilized on special teams in college. All right, let's get to the weaknesses. A lot, and I mean a lot, a ton, a crazy amount of whiffs and missed tackles. He is somebody that is, again, undersized, flying around. He ends up on the ground a lot. He ends up kind of, you know, almost, he's got that dog in him, but that dog in him is more of like the ankle biting dog from time to time. He's just, he's scrappy. He's fast. He's always around you. He's annoying. That's what he is. All right. So unfortunately, you know, he's not super powerful, impactful, and he misses or whiffs on way too many tackles. He needs to finish better as a pass rusher. And if you are going to play him as an off-ball linebacker, he better learn to tackle way better than what he did in college, specifically in 2023. It at times feels like he's hanging on for dear life. Like he is just trying to do anything he can to get a player to the ground. I don't know what it will look like if he ends up in a battle with like Derrick Henry and he's got to get Derrick Henry to, I think Derrick Henry might just drag him. I think it might be the little giant scene where the guy just like jumps on and Derrick Henry just keeps running. I don't mean to be like, I'm saying this facetiously. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, obviously, but there are times where it, just again, his size is in play and it feels like he's trying to do everything he can to get players to the ground at time. And again, there are a lot of missed tackles and sometimes some whiffs that come along with that. He feels he's not undersized as a linebacker at all. Again, he's plus height, plus weight as a true off-ball linebacker. But even when you watch him play, it kind of feels like he's undersized. Just again, doesn't pack that punch, doesn't have a ton of power in his game. He's a speed guy. He is truly, truly, truly a speed guy. And it is impressive, ridiculous, unadulterated speed, but he is not a power impact guy in really any phase of the game. He has extremely small arms, as we talked about, and is lacking in length altogether. That matters. That definitely matters, especially as a pass rusher. He has limited special teams experience, like we talked about. As an end, he's not going to be able to play rundowns in the NFL. And as a linebacker, I don't think he's going to be able to play pass downs. Now, there's a way to make that work. He could potentially be, in a perfect world, an off-ball linebacker on rundowns and then a designated pass rusher on pass downs. That could work. But he's got some ways to go in both of those scenarios to kind of be that player as both a off-ball linebacker and as a pass rusher. He gets obliterated at the second level at times by bigger offensive linemen, just picked off, thrown into the ground. And again, just his run defense in general is a struggle. He comes in way too hot at times. So this is how he has to win. He has to win as a speed guy off the edge. So he has to come blazing at 100,000 miles an hour. And when he does that, sometimes it's just too hot. The quarterback just takes one little step up and then he's way past it. And there's nothing he can do to kind of get back in that play. So if you have a quarterback who knows how to navigate a pocket well, even if you get that speed off the edge, quarterback that can step up and then move outside where he vacated can be a sort of release to that. And we also have seen when he comes in too hot, just missing some of those tackle opportunities, those sack opportunities, and just kind of falling off some of those tackles. I kind of feel like he might end up being a speed rusher or bust, meaning, again, he's not going to be a run defender as defensive end. And I wonder if he can make it as an off-ball linebacker, especially with some of the tackling concerns. So it might be that he needs to really hone his skills as a pass rusher. I'm not sure that there's another opportunity for him to really see NFL success. He has good change of direction as a pass rusher, but as an off-ball linebacker in space, it doesn't look anywhere near as impressive. So good change of direction for a defensive end. I don't really put it as good change of direction for an off-ball linebacker. I talked about as a pass rusher, he's the one that does the dictating. He doesn't do too well when he's not the one that's dictating. Again, when he's an off-ball linebacker, he's got to play in space more. And again, it feels like the other player is going to come and attack him more than he's going to come and attack the other player. So that's why I like him as a pass rusher more. And I do kind of wonder if this is pass rush specialist or bust. And there's maybe not a ton of other ways to actually utilize him on defense. At the end of the day, there is a lot that is limiting in his game. Just smaller size, smaller stature, not super physical, misses a lot of tackles. And while I love, and I mean love, the pass rush aspect of the game, this is going to sound like a negative breakdown. It's not meant to be that way. It's just to really show you superpower as a speedy pass rusher. And then the other stuff is just lacking. So you have to know how to play to his strengths. And I think that's what Green Bay is going to do. They're going to probably make him a true designated pass rusher, which I love. Just know that like that's his superpower. And the other stuff is at best a work in progress. And some of it just might not come along because of the limitations that are in his game. So that's kind of the more concerning thing is like, again, is it just pass rush specialist or bust? And if so, that's okay if he can do it, but he's going to have to show he can do it and at a relatively high level to get those opportunities. Some other notes. I think you just have to figure out if you can find that niche role for him. I think in a perfect world, he would be somebody that is your designated pass rusher, getting, you know, 10 to 12 snaps per game, is a special teams ace for you, which again, I think he can project as, he just hasn't done a ton of it, and also serve as a backup off-ball linebacker, probably like your fifth or sixth guy, but somebody who can come in and play that position in a pinch as well. You're probably gonna have to be creative on how you utilize him in that role, but I do think you could potentially do it. And that's where you start building in a little bit more value as a fifth round pick. All right, if I can get him as a designated pass rusher and he can have a really nice win rate, even if it is in limited snaps, and then if he can be a number five off-ball linebacker on game days, somebody that can step up in a pinch and, you know, play a bunch of snaps on special teams, there's certainly plenty of value there. And again, I'm very excited to see what he can bring as that designated pass rusher. What he can bring to Green Bay in 2025, it's an ingredient they don't have. I've been asking for this ingredient for a very long time. And I've talked about how I think they're like every offensive tackle, other than you're like Trent Williams and you're super, you know, first team all pro guys, every offensive tackle has a weakness. And Green Bay's had a lot of power guys on their roster at defensive end. Not everyone has that weakness. In fact, that might be some offensive tackles' strengths. And sometimes when that's the strength, that power and that ability to hold up at the point of attack against power rushers, sometimes their weakness is then the speed off the edge. Imagine you're going Rashawn Gary and LVN just coming at you, bull rush speed, or sorry, power, physicality, and you're getting beat up over and over. And all of a sudden you see this little, you know, Colin Oliver guy come out. You're like, oh, I got this. And all of a sudden, boom, it's totally different speed than you've been used to all game long. They're not coming at you with, you know, he's not coming at you with the power and intensity that maybe Rashawn Gary had. He's coming to run right past you. And if all of a sudden you're like setting for these power rushes all day, and now you've got a speed rusher off the edge, you have to recalibrate almost in real time. So I do like that he is a different flavor than what they have. He's going to bring a change of pace. He's kind of the lightning to the thunder that they already have along that defensive end group. He is a developmental, versatile piece that, again, potentially has some upside as an off-ball linebacker, pass rusher, and special teams threat. He is a unique option as a developmental off-ball linebacker. We saw the RAS. He's played this position. If he dedicates himself to it, I do think he could potentially become a, you know, maybe the third guy in a 4-3. I don't know that he's ever going to be a top two and he's not going to play enough pass downs to be that, but it just gives you more versatility and more options to kind of utilize him. And he does have some real unique traits as an off-ball linebacker. And then, you know, last but not least, just game day versatility. Yeah, he has the ability to play, again, in a perfect world, some off-ball linebackers, some special teams, some pass rush specialists. If he can give you all that, there's a lot of value in him, not only at this pick, but in keeping him on the roster and making him an active member of the team on your 48-man game day roster. Some final thoughts. The flashes are insanely fun from Colin Oliver, and I mean insanely fun. Can you get enough out of him as a pure special, a pure pass rush specialist and a special teams player to make this pick worthwhile, to make him make the team, to make it so that he can be somebody that is that impact player, even if it's only for a handful of snaps per game? That's going to be the big question mark. You got a toy for Jeff Hafley. I am always pro getting toys for Jeff Hafley. He'll figure out the rest. I believe he will figure out exactly what they need to do with Colin Oliver, put him in positions to succeed. And I'm maybe most intrigued by that aspect of it is just, how does Jeff Hafley see him? Does he put in a package or two, or does he put in some personnel groups to get him out on the field? I think you should. And I definitely want to see it. And I'm thinking that he can find ways to succeed in that type of role. I do wonder if there's just too many limitations. I do wonder if, you know, this is something that looks good as like a pure pass rush specialist as an idea, but when you actually do it in practice, it's like these guys are just too big and strong in the NFL and that's not going to fly. That could be the case, but I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful, and I hope he can go out and become a really dominant pass rusher. Even if it's for only 10 to 15, 20 snaps per game, you take that if he can make the impact that you want him to make. And like I said, he's had a lot of disruption and chaos on film in his career, and hopefully he can kind of continue to bring that over to Green Bay. He is very outside of Green Bay's norms at the position. And even if it doesn't work, I love that they're trying this. I love that they're open to it. Like I've said, I've been a huge proponent of trying to go out and get more of a speed rusher to counterbalance what you already have. They did it. Now I want to see if it can work out. I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, but it's a very interesting evaluation. And like I said, the easy part is knowing what he does. The hard part is projecting what he can be in the NFL. Hope is a very, very fun player. love the pick from a let's try something at this point in the draft standpoint. I think he has a real opportunity to get into a niche role within this defense. I have faith that Jeff Hafley is going to find ways to utilize him the right way, but there are limitations to his game that could theoretically and potentially hold him back. And he's going to have to do everything he can to mitigate those weaknesses and continue to accentuate the strengths that he does have as a pure freaky speed rusher with crazy speed off the edge. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I said only three more of these left. I'm looking forward to it, though. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, Ian Hewell, and Matt Geiger. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.